We're on chapter 11. Chapter 11. Hey, we're on chapter 11. And we're going to begin by returning to... this is actually the story of the...
Chapter 11.
The downfall of the kingdom. Yeah, what do you think chapter 11 comes from? Chapter 11 of Malachim. You think they called it chapter 11 for nothing? You didn't know that?
Come on.
Read, look what happened in chapter 11. You're going to see, it's the spiritual bankruptcy of the Jewish people. Yeah, I did make it up. Okay.
It sounds good.
I thought you were so convincing.
What can I tell you? I shouldn't have given it away. Vahamelech, Shlomo, we started this last, there are more sheets, somewhere here.
No.
Yeah, on the bookshelf, in case you didn't bring it. Vahamelech.
Should I go get it, Rabbi?
Too late, no. Vahamelech Shlomo, Ahav Nashim Achriyot, chapter 11, and the king Shlomo loved foreign wives, Rabot, many, V'et Bat Paro. In addition, he also loved the daughter of Paro, Moaviot, Ammoniot, Adomiot, Chidoniot, Chitiot. All the different nationalities of the different types of women, Shlomo loved them all. Nina Gaim and I spoke last week, an important topic about... some reverence, and we spoke about what did Shlomo do? It was a three-way machlokas. Did he convert them? Did he not convert them? And we saw last week the opinion of the Rambam, who said, God forbid to say that King Shlomo, who was a great man, and he wrote Mishnah, and he wrote Kohelet, and he was such a wise man, God forbid to say that he overtly violated the Torah in such an explicit way as to marry non-Jewish women. His mistake was he converted them, and it never really took. He converted them for the wrong reasons. He thought that they would accept his religion, the Jewish religion, as such, and it didn't work that way. They did not accept it so quickly. They maintained their own practices. Bet, he married women from the nations, that God had said, don't marry them. Okay? And you should not marry, they should not marry you. Why? Achen, yatu et livavchem acharei Eloheihem. The Torah explicitly says, why not marry foreign women, women of another religion? They'll sway your heart. They will convert you to their religion. Vahem davak Shlomo la'ahava. And to those women, Shlomo clung in love. That's what it says, that Shlomo loved these women. Okay, so we saw, 1 second, here. So we're showing you some midrashim. Look at your sheets. There's some fascinating midrashim. This is actually back from chapter 3, okay? And this is when Shlomo actually married Bat Paro. There are some incredible midrashim that you have to see about stories that are actually in my King Solomon book, but incredible midrashim that need to be seen. Okay. Vayichatein, some of them we saw before, but they're worth repeating again. Vayichatein Shlomo et Paro. Shlomo married Paro. He married into the family of Paro. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ami Yisrei De'ula. Says Rav Chiya bar Abi, La'olam Yador Adam B'makam Rabba. A person should always live with his Rebbe. That's what we saw. Shekol Zman Shishimi Ben Gera Kayim. Remember, what happened to Shimi Ben Gera? Anybody remember? How was he killed? Why was he killed? That's not why he was killed. What did he do that merited his death?
He
left the city of Jerusalem. Right, that David made, that there's someone made a deal with him, don't leave.
Don't go.
Remember, we learned, so the mission of the Gemara is telling us, Shimi was Shlomo's Rebbe. Shimi raised him, Shimi taught him.
That's why he spared his life. And just said,
I guess so. So as long as Shimi was alive, lo nasa Shlomo as bas Paro. Shlomo didn't marry the daughter of Paro. Meaning, like, if his rabbi was alive, he was like, you know, like when your rabbi's there, and a lot of things you're not going to do in front of your rabbi that, you know, when he's not around, somehow his presence prevents us, our teacher's presence, or those who we respect, their presence prevents us from doing things that we shouldn't do. Next one, by Chatein Shlomo at Paro, second Midrash, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, said in the name of Shmuel, B'sa'a Shenasha Shlomo et Bat Paro. The moment Shlomo married the daughter of Paro, Yarad Gavriel, the angel Gabriel, descended, V'na'at Kaneh Bayam. And he drove a reed into the sea, V'ala Nivneh Krach Gadol Shel Romi. And on that reed, which you know, grew, and then a mountain, and then an island. And all of a sudden, that was the great village of Rome. Well, what is the Midrash trying to say? That Rome, the landmass of Rome, did not exist in the time of King Solomon? It did, but what's it trying to say?
That it wouldn't have become a problem for us if Shlomo hadn't married Bathsheba.
His behavior plants the seed of the destruction of the Jewish people. And we often, it's so interesting because we often, when you study history, you're only studying in terms of military, in terms of, political doings, and this one killed that one, and that one was a rival of this one. But the Gemara and the Rabbana don't see it that way. What is really the motivating drive that really motivates and drives or destroys nations? The ethical and moral actions and behaviors of us and our leaders. And it's, you shall find that in the Gemara over and over and over and over again. Okay. So remember we asked, Mati Baitrain Shlomo Apari. Did we see this Midrash last time about getting married? How could he marry? How could he convert them?
Yeah, we did talk about that.
We did? What did we say? How could he convert them?
He wanted to Makarit.
Let's see, next Midrash, a little bit different. Baitrain Shlomo Apari. I'm still in number one. Mati Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Baitrain Shlomo Apari Melch Mitzrayim, right? If Shlomo married her, Giyurai Gaira, he must have converted her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, obviously, because, you know, it wouldn't do another way. V'halo kiblu gerim lo bimei David v'lo bimei Shlomo. Remember, I think, Harry, you asked this last. They were not accepting converts in the times of David and Shlomo.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that...
That's a Gemara's question. How in the world, that's what the Midrash says, how in the world is he allowed to marry her if you're not accepting converts? So he says, I'll tell you why. He answers, Nidihu Tama. Okay, why is the reason why they didn't let people, the women or the men, convert? The reason why people would convert in the times of Shlomo, why would a person want to become Jewish?
Because it's cool. Part of the prosperity.
Money. Right, they want to benefit from the economic benefits of the Jewish people. They're not interested in the religion. Ha, my daughter of Paro, lo tzichale. Right? She didn't need it. Why? She was rich anyway. So Shlomo said, doesn't apply to me. Even right. What's that? What happens when you say things don't apply to me?
They apply to you.
What?
They apply to you.
Right. All right. No.
You might. Yeah. It's.
What happens as soon as you think you're immune to things?
Corruption.
Right. Let's skip to the one number two. It's an incredible, incredible Midrash. So what year?
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you said in the beginning here, of course Shlomo wouldn't do it. You know, it says you're not supposed to marry. You know.
But yeah, he wouldn't marry as a guy.
But he's doing all the other stuff the Torah told him not to do. So why would we not think this of him? I mean, right in the next passage, doesn't that start talking about yes, he did it, and they turned his heart and all that?
Well, we're going to see what the Gemara says, how the Gemara reads these psukim. But you're going to see the reason why the Rambam and the Midrash are all saying this is because they're taking the pshat of the psukim, the simple understanding, and they're not accepting it. They're saying, we cannot accept the simple pshat of the psukim.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much for us to accept that King Shlomo, Solomon, King Shlomo HaMelech, who built the Beit HaMikdash and brought the Shechina, would actually do the things that are described. Right? So any literalist, any casual reader of the Bible would say that we're being naive. Naive and simplistic. Okay? But remember, everything that we study Navi, or we study Chumash, we study with a Masorah. You know? And so, we'll get to it in a minute. You'll see what the Mepharshim say. What?
But the Navi style of thinking is that Shlomo.
Whatever he did, he definitely messed up. He definitely made a mistake. But the question is, how bad? To what degree? What are we willing to accept about Shlomo, about the mistake he made? Let's read this Midrash. Incredible, an incredible Midrash. Number two. Okay, Vayihiro Nashim Sharot Shvam Yod. He had 400 wives, 300 concubines. Don't get me wrong, 1,000 wives is a heck of a lot. Right?
How could he even get to...
Never mind.
Just to get... Weren't women kept put away? I mean, how do you find women that you... love, 1,000 of them, while you're running a kingdom? I mean, all of these women came from other kingdoms. He had to go out and get them, find them.
They came to him. Remember we learned they all came to him?
They were brought to him.
Sure, when the king made a treaty. What happened when the king of England made a treaty with the king of France?
they're married off their children.
Correct.
But they're implying that he...
It was, these marriages are not...
Yes, they're not married.
They're marriages, but they're not marriages of, like, you know, deep emotional bonds, one gets the sense. I don't know what it means when it says, Ahav Nasim Nachriyot, he liked, maybe he loved having them, you know what I'm saying? He liked having that many wives. It was a symbol of, clearly, the wives themselves are a symbol of power and importance and prosperity, you know what I'm saying? To have, you know, to marry another one, okay, Nachamar, at some point, you know, you forget their names. You know, are you Jane or are you Jane? I don't know, whatever. There are Nevi'im, there are sorry, right over there behind you, on that shelf. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that, these are not marriages the way you think of marriages, these are marriages of...
The ones with the sticker.
Of... I thought you were talking about the marriages.
They're marriages of convenience.
No, not of convenience, of conquest, of importance, of power and significance. Right.
I get that.
Okay.
But then the point where they say they convinced him to let them worship their...
Well, let's see.
But...
Yeah?
How could he even have time to be convinced?
Would Solomon have let anyone else in the country worship idols? What does it mean, busy? What's his job? What's the job of the king?
I guess getting horses and wives.
Maintain the kingdom, ensure the well-being of the kingdom. The king was seen as the chief, you know, the head of the military, the chief, the officer of the armed forces, but he was also seen as the head of the judiciary. He was the head of it all. He was the king.
He was busy.
So therefore, it was his absolute responsibility to maintain law and order.
Right.
But in Judaism, law and order implies spiritual law and order, right? As the extension of the Beitim, the long arm of the law. And if somebody were caught worshipping idols in King Solomon's time, what would the king's job be other than the Beitim? Eradicate them.
Yes.
And would he have?
I assume so.
Sure would. Except
the one that were his wives.
Right.
He would eradicate his wife.
Right. Let's see. Let's see this midrash. What?
How did he celebrate Pesach?
What do you mean?
A thousand wives at the
Seder? They weren't sitting with him.
They were?
No.
Oh,
what?
So he wasn't a king on the Seder.
How many children did he have?
I don't think the woman went up to Seder.
Come on.
Yeah. How many children did he have? I have no idea.
See, you tie into a lot of women, we have a different idea.
Right, if I lived in Shlomo's time, I wouldn't be giving you this year because I would not have considered you intelligent enough to actually understand it.
Yeah, I get that. Of course, we wouldn't be able to be in the same room with you.
Correct. Absolutely correct. In those days, absolutely not. Okay.
Who wrote the
paper? Who wrote Shmuel? I think Yeshayahu, maybe? I don't remember. You have to ask my wife those questions. I learned them in college, all the information in college, and promptly forgot it. But I learned it one time. I think Yeshayahu, but I don't remember exactly.
What about the water?
What?
Devorah was
the prophet. Devorah? Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah, you always have an exception to the rule. Vayihilo Nashim. Okay, 700 wives, blah, blah, blah. Amar Abchia Bar Abba. Noach lo v'shlomo iru haya goreif bibin v'al yichtov alav ha-pasuk hazeh. Shlomo would have preferred to be a gutter cleaner or a toilet cleaner, as it were, and not have this pasuk written about him.
Right.
Would you like your most intimate and biggest errors printed in a book that is marked as a holy book for posterity that all Jews are commanded to study?
Especially when
Shlomo
was supposed to be the smartest person.
Right. So what caused him? Migarmla, what caused him to sin?
Yeah.
To sin? Shemit ashek b'dvarim shelo ayat tzarech behem. Right? He engaged in things that he should not have engaged in. What, meaning what? Ma'ayim advarim, what are these things? Hafsiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah. God wrote in the Torah, lo yarbe lo nashim v'lo yasur. Lo yarbe lo kesev v'zav. Lo yarbe lo sushim pen yashiv. The Torah says, don't have too many wives, don't have too many horses, don't have too much money. What do they have? Too many wives, too many horses, too much money. Amar, how could he do it? Isn't it in the Torah that Shlomo is responsible to read? And by the way, isn't it a great question?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great question, but it's not a great question on Shlomo. Who's it a great question on? On us, right, on all of us. Like that. The Torah says explicitly, don't cheat. The Torah says explicitly, don't steal. Torah says, don't touch. How do we do it? So this is the answer of how we do it. What mistake did he make? Amar, he said, someone said, Ani arben asim, velo asir livavi. The Torah says, what's the reason why I shouldn't have too many wives? Because they're going to turn me away. I'm Shlomo. It's not going to happen to me. I'm protected from that mistake. Amar Rabba say, Ani arben asim, I have many horses. Velo asir batam, and I'm not going to make the whole country go back to Egypt. Amu Rabboteinu, said the rabbis, Ve'otasha'a, at that moment, Alta Yud Shibiyarbe, right? It says, Lo Yarbe, shouldn't have too many of this, shouldn't have Yarbe, too many of that. So the Yud and Yarbe went up to God, Ve'nistat Chalifna Kadosh Baruch Hu Ve'amran, and the Yud, letters in the Midrash have
personalities,
right? Threw herself, prostrated herself before God, and she said,
she's a woman now.
Email.
It's a yud. Yeah. It's a very nice letter. Ribbono shel Olam, dear Lord, lo kach amarta, ein ot betela min haTorah leOlam. Did you not say that no letter from the Torah will be negated forever? Hare Shlomo omeinu mevatel oti. Shlomo is casting me aside. The Torah said not to do it. He said, but I figure I know why, and therefore I can do it because it's not going to happen to me. Listen to what he says. V'shem ha'yom yivatel achat. And you'll say, maybe if you say, oh, no, mis geferla. It's only one letter. It's only a word. It's only one. All right, it's a king, no? U'lemachar acheret atzit yivatel Torah kol ha'Torah kula. Says, yeah, but what about tomorrow? And the next day? And the next day? God, it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to me. Are these not the most prescient words, you know, that we see in our times? Well, we don't have to keep this because it's not really relevant to us anymore. Well, we don't have to keep that. Not really relevant to us anymore. Before you know it,
nothing's
right. Yeah, right. It's all not relevant to us anymore. We just feel Jewish. We appeal to the Jewishness in our souls. Okay, but I'm not referring to any specific movement at all. Okay.
No.
Tani Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "Allah Sefer Mishnah Torah, the whole book of Devarim went up to God." Then he started and prostrated herself or himself, I don't know, before God. And he said, Ribon Ha'olamim, Master of the World, Akreni Shlomo, Asa'ani Plashter. Shlomo got rid of me. He made me into
dust,
nothing. Katavta Bilo Yarbi, you said it to me, you can't do all these things, etc., etc. And it says, Shlomo had all these horses and all this money, etc., etc. I'm about to cut a few lines in the bottom. I'm skipping a little bit. Said God, Shlomo ve'elef kiyote bo ovdin min ha'olam. Shlomo and 1,000 like him will be gone from the earth. V'os achas mincha eini b'teila le'olam. And I'm not getting rid of one word of you, Mr. Dvarim. Mi garam lo. What caused him to do this? Al shenit asek b'dvarim shelo hayat zorech behem. He engaged in things that he had no business engaging in. He did not need them. There's so many, that midrash is so ripe, so full of things. What does it mean to engage in things that he had no need for? He had no need for more money. He had no need for so many wives. He had no need for so many horses. Why did he do them? Why did he get them?
Because he exempted himself.
Why? Why did he need more horses? Why did he get more horses? Why did he have more money?
To make himself.
Because he could.
For negotiating.
Nah, he had no need for it. A king is allowed to have anything he needs. There's nothing wrong with the president having Air Force One. But if he wants three of them, then we got a problem. Well, there was one is a backup. One is a backup. Anyway, that's why I said three. Especially a Jewish king. A Jewish king, that's the difference. What do I need and what do I want? Like those, we talked about that before. Those are not interchangeable words. And how often do we interchange want for need? You know, I need the upgrade to the 7.1 surround sound stereo because, of course,
I need it.
Being that the movie was encoded in 7.1 surround sound stereo, I'd be wasting, you know, valuable auditory capabilities without having it, which is true. Sounds like a real need, doesn't it?
My granddaughter's wedding.
Right? I need. I need this, I need that. Well, when we confuse what we need with what we want, you know, then that's when we get into big trouble. Because that's when we start making compromises, and that's when we start making shortcuts and making decisions about what does and what doesn't apply to us. Especially nowadays. I would say there was once a time where people really needed, and there was a shortcoming, and it was very hard. Thank God we live in a time where the needs and the wants...
You deserve it, eh?
Of course you deserve it.
I mean,
of course, yeah. Okay, let's read on. Pasuk Gimel. Vayilo nashim sarot shiva meyot upilavshim shlosh meyot vayatu nashav et libo. Right, these women, they turned his heart. Let's read what it says in the Tzukim, how the women turned his heart, and then we'll see what the Mefarshim say. Vayilei Zignat Shlomo, and it was when Shlomo became old. So what did Shlomo do in his lifetime? How much did we just skip?
Many years.
Many years. What else happened?
We don't know.
Not interested.
Well, it's something
30 years. 20 years still missing. Good. Now he's 33.
And his
power? 35. How old was he when he died? That'll be homework. Okay.
That'll be homework.
Okay. That's what the teacher says when they don't remember. Right, okay. When he was old, Nashim he too at Livavo, they turned away his heart, Acharei Elohim Acharim, after foreign gods. Velohaya Livavo Shalem im Hashem Elokav Kilavav David Aviv. And his heart was not complete or full with his God, like the heart of David his father. Vayelech Shlomo Acharei Ashtarot Elohei HaChidonim Vacharei Milkom Shikuch Amonim. Shlomo followed the Ashtaroth, the god of the Chidonim, and Milkom, the abomination of the Ammonim, Zion, Vav. Vayah Shlomo hara b'enei Hashem. Shlomo did evil in the eyes of God. V'lo milei acharei Hashem ki David aviv. And he did not follow after God like his father David. What's the one thing God said to him, don't do? Don't worship. Don't
turn your heart.
Worship idols. The one thing he does? Az Yivnesh Shlomo, then Shlomo built Bama Lichmosh Shikuts Moav, to Chmosh, the abomination of Moav, Bahar Asher Achanei Yerushalayim, and the mountain is facing Jerusalem. Ula Molech Shikuts B'nei Amon, to Molech, the abomination of Amon. V'chein Asa L'chol Nashav HaNachriot, as he did it for all of these women, Maktirot U'mizabchot L'Eloheihen. They would offer maktirot ketoret, they would offer incense, and offer offerings to their gods. Rashi, and then we'll see the midrash that Rashi is based upon. Okay? As Yivne Shlomo, Rashi and Pasuk Zion, says Rashi, Rabotenu Amru, Mitoch Shalom Micha Ben Ashav Nikrat Al Shlomo. The rabbi said, because Shlomo did not, Micha, did not prevent, did not rebuke his wives from doing this, it's written on his name. Meaning, in the verses, who's the guilty party? In the verses, who's the guilty party?
Sounds like Shlomo.
He! Who built the altars? Who followed the gods? Rabbi, impossible. No, who followed the gods? In the verses, in the
Pesukim. According to the verses, it sounds like
in the simple pshat, it sounds like Shlomo. Says Rashi. By the way, there's two words in this Rashi that bother me. Anybody know what the two words in the Rashi that are that bother me? Drora, you want to guess? You have any idea? What two words bother me? Rabotenu Amru, our rabbi said, Mitoch Shlomo Micha Ben Ashav, because he did not rebuke his wives or prevent them. Nikrate al Shemo is written in his name. Two words by the name.
Al Shemo.
Nope. If Rashi thinks something is pasuk pshat, it's simple understanding, he says just, he would use the comment and say the comment without any introduction.
So here he's saying
Rabotenu Amru. Our rabbis said. What is the implication of the words our rabbis said?
That he might not necessarily agree with
right. And that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Normally, you look at Rashi, vast majority of the times, He says, what does it mean? You know, he did this, he did that. He doesn't say, because by the way, everything Rashi says is based on, every single thing Rashi says, pretty much, almost everything is based on the Midrash. Then make it up. I'll show you the Midrash, number three. Source number three, page two. This is a Gemara, a very famous Gemara in Shabbos, a long Gemara, one that's worth reading. Nashavi tu et levo. I was going to do it in the Gemara language, but this is fine too. No, the reason I like doing it, I like giving you the original source as it appears, because and that's why I do these scans. You know, the scans are you know, so a lot of people when they do their sheets, if you have sheets, just as an aside. When you start, the sheets are, how should we say this? They're sort of like, I don't want to say a crutch, but you use them because they're the basis for your class. And it's much harder to give a class without source sheets than it is with source sheets. So you'll notice,
like... So like last week, it was a little tough. You didn't have source sheets.
I had to be dressing. I've gotten comfortable enough. I've come to the point where if I'm comfortable with the material, then I don't feel I need it as much. So, but many of the source sheets that you could just copy straight off the CD. It's much easier to copy something off the CD than it is to scan it in and cut it and paste it, et cetera, et cetera. So why do I do all that? Because I think it's important to get a sense of, and you don't have it here, of the way the pages look, of the way the sources look. I think that there's a, we all have a certain, we're able to identify things by look. When you see a page of Gemara,
you know that it
you identify it as a page of the Gemara. It looks different than a page of the Rambam.
I'll say.
Yeah. Right. You should be able to recognize that, and that it's not just text. Yeah.
When Rashi was pleased over this, you see what else is saying, but I think this or that. So it sounds like...
It's a vagueness. The thing that bothers me is the vagueness. Why does he say, Rabotenu Amru? When Rashi gives you, he says, Midrash Agada. Right? Mm-hmm. Why does he say, our rabbi said? Of course our rabbi said. Let's take any other Rashi. Okay, Rashi says, I'll pick the one before that. Excuse me. I don't know. Pick any Rashi. The Ed Bat Paro, Afi Minachriot, Ella Saita, Chaviva La Mikulam. But she was the most beloved. Where do you think Rashi got that from?
Midrash.
Yeah, from the Midrash. The Midrash says the same thing. Okay, why does it Bat Paro? One second. There. What does it say? Bat Paro is included. Malam Mitzahum Mechavava Yoter Mikulam. It's from the Sifrei. It's from the Midrash. This is a great book. I love Midrash. So everything Rashi says is from the Midrash.
Yeah, but like in Pesach
Chav Vav on this Perek? Perek Yud? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So he brings his own his own perception.
Okay.
But here, it sounds like he doesn't really have any.
I agree with you. I agree with what you're trying to say. What's the words Urabotenu Amru trying to say? Why does Rashi add that in? Just as like, just to mention it?
Yeah, I hear.
Yeah.
That he doesn't really...
Rashi, by the way, the brilliance of Rashi, when you study Rashi on the Gemara, so when you're in 7th grade, and 8th grade, or 5th grade, or whatever, Rashi is just a commentary to help you with the hard words. He helps you with the difficult concepts. But when you become a little bit older and a little more sophisticated, you begin to realize that Rashi, in his brilliance, is able to take a position in explaining the Gemara, just through his simple explanation, in an incredible brevity of words. So on the few sections, like most of Masechet Baba Batra, there was no Rashi for whatever reason. It's the Rashbam. You might notice Baba Batra is 176 blot. And it's not because there are more words in the Gemara. It's because the Rashbam on the page takes up a vast majority of the real estate. Because what it took Rashi to write in this much, it took his grandson to write this much.
Wow.
You know, the brilliance of Rashi is in his brevity. He did not waste words, ever. So when he's writing something, you have to ask why. And I'm leaving it as an open question. Back in the Midrash, page 3, source 3.
Examples. The Gemara says that someone did something,
yeah.
And actually because he didn't review everything.
There have to be an expert. Maybe I'll email somebody in Israel and ask them. Somebody will know, what does it mean when Rashi says Rabotenu Amru? That's why you have scholars, because they study these things. Nashavi Tu Adlavavo, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, I'm Rav Yochanan, said Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Kol Ha'omer Shlomo Chata, whoever says Shlomo sinned with the sin of idolatry, Eino Ela Toeh. You are mistaken. but David too. So now Marza says, his heart was not complete with God like the heart of his father. Yeah, sure, it wasn't as good as David. But come on. He did not sin that terribly. Ella, so what, you have a problem. What's your problem? If I say he didn't sin, what do I do with the text? Yeah. What do I do with the Navi? Mani Mekayim, how do I explain by Ilei Jignat Shlomo Nashim Hitu Adababo that the wives turned his heart? Hahihi ki Rabbi Natan. That's like the Rabbi Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan Rami, Rabbi Natan asks, Ki by Ilei Jignat Shlomo Nashim Hitu Adababo. It says the same question, Raktiv ki Levav David Aviv, ki Levav David Aviv, velo haba michta nami belchata. So it's a same contradiction. How is it that, okay, he wasn't as good as his father, as David, but he wasn't an idol worshiper. Well, what do you want to say? Hachi kamai, this is what it's saying. It says, the women, he too ed levavo, they drew his heart. They pulled his heart. They pulled out his heart strings. Oh, Shlomo, if you really love me, you'll bow down to my God. Velo halach. But he didn't go. They tried, and they failed. That's it. He too can be read to mean they did turn his heart, or they turned his heart, but he did not follow. They tried to turn his heart.
Well, I can understand that kind of argument. Wives do it all the time. If you won't bow down to my God, at least build the altar.
Vaksim, good. Az yivneh Shlomo bama lichmos shekot Moav. Sounds like he built it, right? Umesanim, answer shebikesh livnot below bana. He wanted to, but never got around to it. Since his desire to, that was the indictment. Vaksiv, vayash Shlomo, harabe ne Hashem, he did evil in the eyes of God. But because, again, this is Rashi, right? He's quoting a Gemara, because he should have interfered with them, prevented them, and did not. Ma'ale Allah ha-katuv ki'ilu chata. The verse treats him as if he sinned. Amar Abud Amar Shmuel said, Noach lo la'otel tzadik, Shlomo, that tzadik, would have been happier, she'ehe shamash le'davar acher. He would have been happier to be a servant, to like a woodcutter for idolatry, and shouldn't write that he did it, that he actually worshipped idols. Meaning Shlomo would have given anything not to...
had it written this way.
Right. Now the Gemara continues. It's important to read the rest of the Gemara. Amar Rav Yud Amar Shmuel. Shlomo married Bat Paro in the fourth year of his
reign.
Did the Beis HaMikdash built?
No.
She brought in 1,000 instruments. Amrullah, and they're playing. Kach ozin la'avoda zara plonit. V'kach ozin la'avoda zara plonit v'lo michala. She says, this we play, this church hymn, and this we play, this church hymn. Isn't it beautiful? We play this spiritual, and now we play this spiritual. Isn't it beautiful? And what did he say to her?
Sure.
Nothing. Velo micha. He didn't stop her. Can you imagine, somebody would come into me and say, Rabbi, I want to play you this old Negro spiritual. Sweet Jesus. Can you imagine? What does Shlomo do? Honey, that's nice. I'm Rabbi Shema. This is unbelievable. This is incredible midrash. V'otel ha'layla, shehishlim Shlomo melech et Beit HaMikdash. The night, this is a different midrash, the night Shlomo finished the Beit HaMikdash, nasa batya bat paro. He also married the daughter of Paro. Meaning, the next morning, they're going to consecrate the Beit HaMikdash. The night before, he marries the daughter of Paro. Right. Wouldn't be the best time.
Wait a minute, I thought he married her. He already married her.
Maybe married another Batya Bas Paro. But how you some? Sahalat Simchas Beis HaMikdash, the Chalash Bas Paro. And there's the party for the Beis HaMikdash, and Bas Paro is having her wedding reception. The Alta Chalash Simchas Bas Paro, Yoter Michalas Beis HaMikdash. And of course, which got the most press? Which got the red carpet? Where were all the paparazzi?
at
the wedding reception. The Beis HaMikdash, old hat. Saw the consecrating the temple. No, but the wedding of the century. ובאות שושה עלת במחשבה לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא להחריב את ירושלים. That moment God thought for a moment to destroy Jerusalem. Right. I mean, it's like a slap in the face, you know? Like that night, that day? Rabbanan says no. Right? That's not what happened that night. They didn't even get married that night. What happened that night is she brought in 1,000 instruments. Right? And she told them to play the 1,000-piece orchestra. I don't know who arranged for that thing, but the 1,000-piece orchestra, play for him. Okay? So that night, the night before he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, that's when she played him the spiritual, sweet, you know, who hymnals of her idolatry. And what did he say? That's nice, dear. Good night. See you in the morning. Ma ashta bat paro. So what did Paro's daughter do? She made kamin peres. She made a tapestry. Shatchalo lemala mimenu. She made this tapestry of black, and she placed this tapestry above him on the ceiling of the, you know, somehow on the ceiling. Okay. The kavabom kol mine avanin tovos umargolios. And in the tapestry, she placed all kinds of jewels, shiny jewels and diamonds and what have you, stones. Shahayu mavhikos kein kolchavim umazalas. And they shone like the stars and the constellations. So you look up, and what do you see?
The sky.
You see the sky. She made the house into a planetarium. That's what she did. V'chos mashayah shlomo rotzeh la'amod. Every time someone would say, well, what time is it? Right? No clocks. So he saw. He looks up. Still middle of the night. Time to go to sleep. Right? Wow. This is a great night. Every time I wake up, probably the opposite. He probably thought he couldn't sleep all night long. Like he wakes up, you know, he's so tired. I can't sleep. Every time I wake up. Okay? V'haya yashen ad dalid sha'ot. And he slept until the fourth hour. The fourth hour is the latest time to bring. The latest time to bring the first korban in the Beis HaMikdash. The korban tamid shel shachar. So he's sleeping. He's sleeping it off on the first day of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because of his darling wifey. Okay. I'm Rab Levi. Rab Levi says, "Osa yom nitzkariv tamid shel shachar b'dalid shos." That day, the korban tamid was brought in the fourth hour. You know when the korban tamid was usually brought?
The
instant of sunrise, the Kohanim, they slaughtered the Korban Tamid so early that they couldn't say Shema yet. They were so meticulous that they wanted to do it the first possible moment. But the first day of the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash, they waited. Why? Yisrael Atzavim. The Jewish people said, Shayom Chanukah Beis HaMikdash. The whole place, all the Jews are coming, they're there, they're like 5 a.m., 3 a.m., they're camping around the block, you know, they're waiting, they're there, they're all up and ready. 7 o'clock comes, no, let's go, not waiting for the king. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock comes, and like, what's going on? And the king, I'm here, slept late, sorry, my bad. They couldn't start because Shlomo wasn't there. He adds in because he had the keys. The whole thing was locked up. They didn't want to wake him up because they were afraid of the king. So what they do is great. They didn't want to wake the king up. So they told his mother. And she went in and she gave him a what for. And woke him up. And they just barely made it on time.
Wow.
How's that? So they didn't tell you that that's the first day of the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't tell you that in the story in the Navi, did they?
No.
So on the one hand, the Rabbanan, they say, Shlomo did not worship Avodah Zarah. He did not. You can't say that he did. It's unacceptable, unfathomable, unimaginable. But on the other hand, this, you know, on the day when the Rabbanan are willing to say, in the Gemara, these are from the Gemara and Shabbos, on the day the Beis HaMikdash is consecrated, the opening day of the Beis HaMikdash, first day, all the Jews are there. And Shlomo doesn't show up because of his non-Jewish wife?
Wow.
I mean, that doesn't speak well for the Jews.
And he's the smartest man that ever lived.
And what was his mistake?
He thought he was smarter than himself.
Very good. Last Rashi. That's Midrash. Source number four. I'm doing a lot of Midrashing, but they're so important. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mibnei Ma Lo Nidgalu Tamei Torah. Why didn't God tell us why? Why do I have to slaughter both the trachea and the esophagus, two simanim on an animal and one on a bird? Why? I want to know why. Why do I have to, Shabbos I know. Why can't I put one and linen together? Why do I have to give the first fruits to the corn? And why do I have to do all these things? Wouldn't it make sense for God to explain us and give us the reason? Shaharei Shtei Mikraot Nidgalu Ta'aman. The Torah gave us reasons for two mitzvos. And the greatest man of the generation, of the world, the smartest man in the history of the world, the most wise man, stumbled on them. What were they? Lo yar b'lo nashim. Right? The Torah says, not too many wives. Why? B'lo yasur l'vavo. Don't have too many wives. Why don't have too many wives?
So they won't
turn away your heart. Amar Shlomo, someone said, ani arbeh b'lo asur. I got it. I can handle it.
But he couldn't.
Right. What happens when a person says, I can handle, I can control my drinking?
Uh-huh.
Right. As soon as a person says, I can handle it, that's in a big trouble. What was Shlomo's mistake? His mistake stemmed from the fact that he thought that he could outsmart God. In a sense, his chachma got to him. And that's a scary thought, because his fatal flaw was his greatest asset. It's true a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes great people, their flaw is in their greatness, their inability to find humility in their own greatness. Yeah, I mean, I know the answer. I'm great. I know the answer. I've got all the solutions. When in fact, humility would have served them much better. And that's what got Shlomo in trouble. Okay. Let's go back to unbelievable Midrashim. Isn't that crazy? Never heard about that one? About the
one about the letters is great.
About the tapestry?
No, the tapestry is superb.
The planetarium in right. the in the house of Shlomo, you know. She went through some heck of a lot to get him to sleep through, you know. My Yom Hashem to Shlomo. God said to Shlomo, Yan Asher Haita Zot Imach. So God said to Shlomo, Rashi says, through a prophet. Since this is with you, you did not keep my covenant and my agreement that I commanded on you. I shall rip apart the kingdom from you. And I shall give it to your servant. But I'm not going to do it to you in your day. Why? Not for you, for your father. I shall tear it from your son. I'm not going to give him all of it. You'll get to keep one tribe. Why? Because I'm stuck with David HaMelech. I promised him. And I'm stuck with Yerushalayim. And that very often, how many times have the Jews survived because God is stuck with us? You know, we don't deserve it. Sometimes we do, thank God. But even at the worst moments, in our worst terrible moments, God still can't turn it away. Why?
Because he's our father.
He's stuck with us. Okay. Vayakam Hashem Shatan Mishlomo et Hadad Ha'adomi. God arose, caused a Shatan is an enemy or a distressor. Yeah, an antagonist. Okay. Hadad Ha'adomi Mizera HaMelech HuBe'adom. He was in Edom. He, B'yod David et Edom. We're going back in history now. When David was in Edom, right? The Jewish people, they didn't leave bodies around. They had to kill all the males in Edom. So they went to bury the males. Yoav spent 6 months wiping out every male in Edom. So Adad, he wasn't an idiot. He knew if he hung around in Edom, that was the end of him. He ran away to Egypt. But Hadad Nar Hakatan. Hadad went, right? And Hadad was his young child. They went from Midian, they went to Paran. They brought people from Paran with them. Paro took them in. You know it works. An enemy of my enemy?
My friend.
Right. They're wiping you out. The Jews are wiping you out. Come stay with me. Fine. Yutet. Vayimsa adad chayim b'ainei paramor. The power liked this adad very much. Vayiten lo isha et achot istel achot tachbinis. He gave it his sister-in-law. Okay? Tachbinis hagvira. The great Tachbinis. I saw the Tachbinis is a, what kind of name is that? I saw somewhere. I don't remember where I saw it. The name, okay. Vakeva lo achot Tachbinis, the sister of Tachbinis, gave birth at Ginuvat Beno. Vakimileo Tachbinis betoch Bei Paro, and his child grew up in the house of Paro. Vahi Ginuvat Bei Paro betoch Bnei Paro. And he grew up as one of the people of Paro. Vahadad Shema b'Mitzrayim. So when Hadad found out that David is dead and Yoav is dead, by the way, do you see any parallels here? Yeah, can't you? It's unmistakable. I'm not sure what you do with it. But look at this guy Hadad. Hadad came from a foreign country. He was raised by the sister of Paro's wife, right? Raised in the house of Paro, marries a daughter of Paro, and then when his oppressor is killed, dies, or whatever it is, he says, I have to go home. I mean, the parallels are striking. I have no idea what to do with them, because you're talking about someone who's an enemy of the Jewish people, and the parallels are being used for Moshe. I'll have to look into it more deeply and see.
To show the greatness of Moshe, that he could have been, this is what he could have become. Because this is what a mere mortal becomes.
I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me.
No.
Okay. So he says, send me home. I got to go back home. Vayomer lo Paro. Paro says, hey, kimata chaseri mi. What don't you have here? Do you want to go back to your land? Vayomer lo. He says, no, I got to go home. And Paro's right, by the way.
Yeah.
But that yearning for home, for where I'm from my homeland, was too great for him, and he says, I gotta go home. Vayakav Elohim lo shatan. So and he went back to his homeland, to Edom, and what did he do when he was back in Edom? He caused trouble. Meaning there are these roving bands. David HaMelech had created peace in our time. So, I mean, it's almost like Israel now, right? Are there national enemies? Are the national enemies of Israel? Iran is an enemy. Mm-hmm. But Iran is quiet, so what do we have to deal with? A Palestinian here, and an Arab there, and a band here, and a guy there. Trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes trouble is worse than wars. Wars, you go, you fight, you send out your chariots, you decimate them. Like the terrorist incursions, shooting rockets, what do you do? What do you do? No, and then another teenager is injured seriously, and another teenager, and what do? You know? It's not like you don't care. You care very much.
Send them back home.
Who?
Home.
Yeah, yeah. If it were only so simple. And when you destroy the school that the Palestinians are shooting their rockets from and kill 17 children, then what?
And it's the same boy, right?
What?
You know that.
It's the same boy all the time.
17 times, right?
What then?
Nothing. What? People yell.
Yeah, we live. At least I'm not so naive as to think that the solutions are simplistic, because they're not. They're extremely complicated. Extremely complicated. Nothing is so simple. What?
Because we complicate them.
Who's
like to complicate?
Hey. Okay. Vayakam Elokim Satan et Rizon ben El Yada Asher Barach Me'et Hadadazer Melech Tzova Adonav. So there's another guy, Rizon ben El Yada. There was another Satan, another, what did they call him?
Antagonist.
Like Votolav Anashim, he gathered people, he had a band. Right, he saw Gedud Baharog Davirotam, and he was a when David wiped him out, he was a Sar Gedud, he was an officer. Vayachud Amesek. And he went to Damascus and he was there. So he was an annoying problem. You know, it's like a little bee. Come, you sting, you go back. Come, you sting, you go back. Hadad too. He rebelled against Israel. He's going back and reestablishing the nations that David had destroyed. Why? And now what's the direct reason? Why? What's the reason that all of these antagonists to David are succeeding?
Because Shlomo
is too busy with other stuff.
Right. You could say because Shlomo is too busy with other stuff, Because God allowed it because Shlomo was too busy with other stuff. It's a combination. One is the inattentiveness or the unwillingness of Shlomo to address the spiritual needs of the Jewish people, to eradicate the idolatry. And the other one is maybe he was so busy with his idolatry or with his women and his money and his horses, so preoccupied with the opulence of the job that he forgot that he had a job to do. Hard to say. Okay. What?
Go against
this all-powerful monarch kingdom.
There's like a
Molech of Rome. Yeah. If you get stung by a bee enough times. Yeah. Chavav. Need a lot of bee stings. By Yaravam ben Nevat Efrati min Hatsereda. So there's a guy named Yaravam ben Nevat from Efrat. Okay? Tsereda. V'shem imo Isha Tsrua Isha Almana Eved Shlomo. His mother was an Isha Tsrua. She was a widow, a servant of Shlomo. Vayarem Yad Bamelech. And Yaravam rebelled against the king. How did he rebel? This is how Yerobam rebelled against the king Shlomo. What?
No.
I'll mean it. Amalek Shlomo banat hamilo sagar et peretz ir David aviv. Shlomo built up the rampart. He closed the king, the peretz of ir David. When David first conquered Yavush, the city of Yerushalayim, he had to break through the walls. Right? And the people used to go, let's look at the Radak on that Pasuk. Radak on Chaf Zion on 27. On page 122. The Radak says on Chaf Zion, Shlomo Banat Tamilo. See the Radak in wide, about seven lines from the bottom. Hamilo Itab Makom Yerushalayim Samach Yerushalayim. The Milo, this breach, was in a place near Yerushalayim. It was a gathering place for the king, for the people, to enter into Yerushalayim. Ushlomo banau to makom. Ushlomo built it up. Why did he build up the place? Again, when he built the house for the daughter of Pharaoh, so he needed the space. So he needed the place for like a foundation for her house. So he filled it in. Okay, but Apa Pichain, it seems nonetheless, they didn't like what he did. Meaning, here it was like a gathering place for all the Jewish people, and what does Shlomo do? He like paves over this gathering place, this nice little park that all the people use. Why? Because you need to build a parking lot for his wives, for his glacier wife's, you know, cars.
I read also that because they closed it up, she was started collecting tolls for people to come through.
I guess that's another explanation. I don't think the Radak says that. Okay. So what did Yerobam do? Everybody was afraid to rebuke the king. Because who tells the king that he made a mistake? But Yerobam, Menavat, he stood up and he said, Shlomo, you should not, it's bad that you built, that you closed up this breach in the walls for your wife. And then, of course, when he did that, what did he have to do?
Get out of town fast.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Chavchet, Vayish Yerobam, Gibor Chayil, was very strong. Vayar Shlomo Atanat, Yosem Lachahu. He had seen that Yerobam was very strong. Vayafkeido told the whole Shevel Beit Yosef. He put him in charge of all of the taxes of Beit Yosef. Vayihi Beitahi, and it was at that time. Vayerobam Yatsam Yishalayim, Vayimsahu to Achia Shiloni and Navi, Vayera. So Yerobam bumps into Achia Shiloni, the Navi, the prophet. Vahumi Tasa Besalmacha Dasha. And Achia Achiloni is wearing a new clothing. Usnam Levadam Basadam. They're both alone in the field. What do you think Achia is going to do? Vayikos Achia B'Salma Chadasher Shalav. He took his new cloak. Vayikra'eha Shnei Masar Kra'im. Prophets would always do this. A symbolic gesture. And he tore it. He rent it into 12 tears. Vayomani Yerobam Kach Lecha Asara Kra'im. Take your 12, your 10 of them. Kiko Amar Shem Lecha Yisrael, so says the Lord. In front of Yerobam, you tear, tear, tear. Take 10 of the pieces. You get 10.
I'll
keep 10. One tribe stays with David. What about the 12th tribe? Who's the 12th tribe? Lady, doesn't get anybody. Yehuda, David keeps Yehuda. Right, no, Benjamin goes to the other. And Levi doesn't go anywhere. Why? Because he abandoned me, bowed down to the Ashtarot. He didn't follow my commandments. He bowed down to the idols. I'm not going to take the whole kingdom. I will remain in a prince for all days of his life.
Why is he saying all this?
Why? He's going to tell him why. Because Yerubbaal is going to be the next king of the other 10.
Oh.
He says, you get the other 10. That's why he gave him the 10 pieces. You ready? Time? Five over?
Wow,
oi! Okay, we will quickly finish the next chapter at the beginning of next week and begin with the unfortunate rending of the Jewish kingdom, perhaps one of the most tragic episodes in Jewish history. Wow. I get into it and I lose track of time.
What can you do?